98.5, the Sports Hub. So, the week of 4th July, John and Rich were not here, and Sarge was here doing headlines, and every time, we took one phone call, and the guy made fun of Sarge, and Sarge went ballistic on the guy, so every call after that, all morning, was just slipping in Sarge stuff, and he would become furious. Now, since then, like, little by little, people have been calling in and saying Sarge sucks at the end of phone calls and things of that nature. And we were like, all right, you know, it's all been done on the show before.
It started with us, and then it seeped into Zolak and Bertrand's show, which was met not with the most open of arms. And then it went to Felger and Maz, which they just kind of laughed and moved on. Adam Jones, it was on there. And Amy Lawrence just doesn't know what to do with herself when someone goes to Sarge.
The Amy Lawrence ones never get old to me.
Yeah, the Amy Lawrence ones are pretty fantastic. But then it moved on from our station and started going to other stations in the market. Shall we go to Friday at 11:50 a.m. at a certain station across the street?
With, again, a guy I really like. I really like this guy. But a Sarge call has to happen every now and again.
Kevin is in Newton. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
That's not the guy I really like.
That's the guy John really likes.
I love him.
He loves Dale Arnold.
I'm sure he handled this very well.
He's a huge fan of Dale Arnold.
Kevin is in Newton. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good. Hey, guys. First time, long time.
Nice. Thank you.
I'll leave my question and hang up and listen on the other side.
All right.
With Gronk seeming to struggle early, do you think he's adjusted his play at all where he's doing something a little different to preserve his body a little better, you know, like Brady has? And Keith, it's a good thing you left because Sarge sucks.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And you just let it go.
No,
then they just answered the question.
Oh, no.
Yep. They know what's up.
I love Keith. He should have sat there and just stared at Dale.
What do you think, Dale?
I think Dale looked at him and just went, is this one of your friends? Your youth? What's up with this youth?
All right.
These whippersnappers keep calling our show.
Playing your Lady Antebellum.
Let me get on my soapbox because I never get off of it, especially when I'm on Nessun. So I have to stand on one.
So now there is a fantasy football advice show.
Yep. Yes, there is.
With Dave Richard. And now, unfortunately, we can't take calls during Dave Richard because everyone just says how Sarge sucks.
Yeah, that's right.
For their fantasy team.
Right. And so, like, every time he's on, we'll take a phone call, and it will just be Sarge sucks, and then we have to move on.
Uh-huh.
So, now, this is a national fantasy show.
And by the way, a lot of people apparently listen to this because when this happened, I might have gotten, like, immediately, like, a dozen tweets being like, dude, this just happened.
Yeah, because and we love Dave Richard. He's been on the show for a long time.
And Dave Richard has, once again, been on our show, and Sarge Sucks calls have come in.
So and he just deflates him. You can just tell that. All right, so here we go.
Neil in Boston is on Ion Fantasy Football.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. 12-team, half-point PPR. I have a ton of people on bye this week, so I need to pick up a wide receiver. Just wondering, should I do Adam Humphries, D.D. Westbrook, or Mike Sarge-Riley, but he kind of sucks.
You don't want to go with Mike Sarge-Riley. I'm going to count on him for 6 catches and 50 yards, 7 catches and 60 to 70 yards. I think he can do that. Steak and eggs, Neil. Steak
and eggs. Hey!
How about that?
Yeah!
Excellent.
Respect!
Dave Richards. Good for Dave Richards. And by the way,
massive respect there.
Not John from Vegas. How about that? That was not John from Vegas.
No, but John from Vegas, he's tackled some tough ones.
He has. He got on Feinbaum. He's basically, anytime we've put out the call signal and just said, hey, sick him, John from Vegas has been there. And boy, he's so good at getting through. Gets through, knows exactly what to say.
I mean, Feinbaum is all calls, and this next gentleman.
There's a Mount Everest of people that you could reach. This guy's on it. John from Vegas, take it away.
John joins us. What's up, John?
Hey, Mike. Just want to tell you, I've listened to a lot of sports talk all over this country. I always come back to you. You're the best man. Don't listen to these papers.
Thank you.
No problem. So on the Jets, specifically, yes. Sam Darnold. I love the player. I think he could be an all-pro for a long time in this league. But I think his career could be ruined by coaching. And I'm not even talking about Todd or Jeremy Bates. I'm talking about this freaking consultant he's had since college. I was reading an article yesterday. This Mike Sarge Riley character. This guy sucks, Mike. I can't stand him. You can hear him on the radio, too. He's awful, Mike. He's awful. He sucks.
And listen, I'm not worried about anything with Sam right now. I really am not. So I think Sam has got his head on very, very squarely, completely. I'm not even familiar with the guy he's talking about. I don't even know who this consultant is, to be honest with you. I've never even heard about a consultant. So I don't even know who that is. But the point is, I haven't heard anything about Sam that isn't. And the times I've met him, I've really liked him. So I think he's very, very solid in every way. So I don't know if that's there is a story about the guy or not. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with it. If it is, I'm not familiar with that. I haven't heard anything about that. But I'm not worried about Sam at all. Now the Jets, I'm a little worried about them. A little worried.
John from Vegas.
Bergoglio?
By the way, Francesca really trying to...
Francesca's just being like, yeah, sure. All right, I guess there is this guy. Maybe there is, there isn't. I mean, God bless you, John from Vegas.
Well done.
We say go get Feinbaum, he gets Feinbaum. We say go get Francesca, go get Francesca.
No, where do we go from here?
John from Vegas, your next task.
Sarge from... Well, hang on. No one's gone for the Sarge cycle.
No one's gone for the Sarge
cycle. Oh, three
in
a row.
Three in a row.
Because you're going to have to get with friends...
Four in a row is a Sarge slam.
If you can get three calls in a row that are all Sarge sucks calls, you hit the Sarge cycle.
That's all that's left.
In this station doesn't count, but if you can do it at another station, that screws up the entire show. Like, once you've gotten hit three times in a row with Sarge sucks, like, because we know for a fact that we sit here and wait for the phone to ring and to see when Sarge sucks. But, all right, you have a challenge, Rich?
I'm throwing two names out there. And if you get me one of those two, I'm going to be a happy camper. If you get me both, you're already epic. You will be the thing of legend. I want Sean Hannity. And I want Rush Limbaugh. You get me a Sarge sucks on Hannity and Limbaugh, you've gone next level, my friend. Do I think John from Vegas can do it?
Uh-huh.
You bet your ass I do. Do I think that we'll have at least one of them by tomorrow?
Uh-huh.
Because that's the way he rolls. Well,
but you know what? Thank you, people. And thank you for all the Wallach heads out at the BC game.
Everywhere at College Game Day.
Great.
Like, our listeners are relentless. Like, I mean, like within seconds, you just saw front and center. There was Wallach and his big old teeth just right there. And then... when they zoomed out, it wasn't just one head. It was like three, four heads all over the place.
I turned it on for 5 minutes and I saw multiple Wallach heads.
And you know how crappy the weather was on Saturday morning over there?
Yeah, because
I do know, because
Herb Street kept complaining about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the worst you've gone through?
There was also a sign that said,
I'm not Dilly.
Yeah. And I'm not Dilly, which I thought was pretty fantastic.
I did not see that. The
fans have been relentless lately, but there you go. There's a bounty for you. The bar has been raised. We're going Hannity. We're going Limbaugh. That's what we need.
Okay.
And I realize there are similarities to this and Captain Jenks and the Howard Stern Show, but
we didn't create this.
This happened entirely organically.
And you tell you what, I'm loving it. I got no shame in it whatsoever.
No, but I'm just putting it out there in total disclosure that I am very aware that this is similar to something I've enjoyed very much with Howard Stern. But it did happen organically, and you can go back and listen to tapes. If you want to go back to the archives and listen to probably the 5th of July
when I didn't want to be here and Sarge didn't want to be here. Because this is
for different reasons, but yes.
This has transcended Sarge, by the way. This no longer has anything to do with Sarge.
No, it's like, you know, Sarge doesn't matter. It's just the fact that...
Can we do a bit with Sarge where it's just songs about, like, Mr. Telephone Man?
I don't think we do anything with Sarge. I think it's enough Sarge. I think what we got going on right now is about as Sarge as you need, and that's it.
All right.
Mr. Telephone Man?
Yeah, like, just songs about telephone.
Hang on. There's a third name, but should we hold on to it? Because somebody just told me that. I mean, there'd be another great show.
No, just go ahead.
Rome. We got to get Jim Rome.
That's, I think, not hard. I think he can get on Rome.
Oh, D.A. D.A. would be pretty good.
But there also has to be a foot reference.
Do you think D.A. pays attention? Do you think he would understand the reference?
Was he here when Sarge was here?
No. He knows what's going on. He pays attention to the station.
He does?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would say Rome would be great. Hannity, right. Limbaugh, Rome.
Toucher and Rich.
In the pocket, it's a Wildcat snap to Henry, who runs it to the right. With a burst into the end zone. A second rushing touchdown of the day for Derrick Henry. And punctuation for the Titans here in Nashville.
Embarrassment of a drive right there by this defense and what they just gave up. I don't blame them. Offense didn't do jack anything today. You are getting your, you know what, taken to the woodshed.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub. Listen to our app and take us everywhere you go. Also, listen at home, in your office, or anywhere you got a smart speaker. Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for The Athletic. He's kind enough to join us. So, Mr. Howe, hello, sir.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, man, just reeling from the loss on Sunday. Hard to eat yesterday, tough to get up this morning, but you know you plow through.
You are brave individuals.
Thank you. That's often said, but still not said enough.
We are true Iron Men. I want to ask, because this, you wrote something about this, and I don't know what has happened with Tom Brady against the blitz, because it used to be in years past that if you blitzed him, he would kill you. And he had all of these different trapdoors you could go to. Even James White recently has been a guy that if he was blitzed, James White was like a nice little trapdoor that he had. And now he, yesterday, I saw the statistics this season, is by far ranked worst against the blitz. And I mean, it seems like he's giving up on plays earlier than he used to. What went wrong? Why is this happening?
Well, I think there's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, he's giving up on plays earlier. You know, those visuals sort of stick out because they're so fresh and it's so unique. I mean, that doesn't happen, you know, 100% of the time, but a lot of it's the play design. I mean, especially Sunday, Josh McDaniels should have helped out Tom Brady a whole lot more in that game. I mean, it was pretty obvious from the start, especially when the Patriots were getting into a predictable passing mode, that McDaniels was going to call a ton of passes. And there just wasn't a whole lot of screen work. There wasn't a lot to keep the Titans off balance. So the Titans just started to get a little more creative with their blitz looks, and they were able to take advantage of an offensive line that was shifting bodies at both tackle positions, starting a backup right guard, although Ted Karras played pretty well. And they were just coming after him, and they felt there was no repercussion of, oh, well, what if they have a screen, or what if they do this? And then there were, you know, you mixed in the play action, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. So you're taking away that extra tick of time that or giving the defense that extra moment of time to really get after Brady. So he didn't have a whole lot of time to throw. James White was a huge focus for the Titans in that game. I mean, Mike Vrabel basically said it all week. So without Gronk to play off of White, you know, you didn't have the combo routes that I think you probably would have liked to have in that situation. You got to give the Titans credit. I mean, they're one of the best defenses the Patriots will see all season. But, you know, again, Brady isn't seeing, or he's, you know, it seems like there's two or three more really open receivers that Brady isn't hitting on a game-by-game basis. And then, you know, the play design hasn't been great. There have been weeks when the offensive lines let him down, the injuries at times. So, I mean, again, it's sort of just a combination of everything.
All right. Well, I mean, you've been asked about Hogan before, but Dorsett has been missing as well. You mentioned Brady missing open receivers.
Are you seeing when you review game film Dorsett and Hogan open and he's just not going to them? Or why the lack of production by the two of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's Dorsett is more about playing time. I mean, he only gets a handful of opportunities a week. But Hogan is – that's a strange one because I don't think the guy has fallen off a cliff or anything like that. And he was wide open on that fourth and six, the one that really – that was Brady's last snap of the game when Logan Ryan broke it up over the middle for Edelman. I mean, Hogan beat Malcolm Butler down the right sideline on a double move. And I think that was a matchup they probably could have taken advantage of. I mean, I don't understand why they didn't go after Malcolm Butler more than one or two times in that game. It was there for the taking. I mean, you knew that he was going to be putting a lot of pressure on himself to go out and play well in that game. And he did play well, but, I mean, he openly admitted it last week. He was trying for too many interceptions. He told me the contract was something that was putting a little more pressure on him to try to live up to. And you go into this scenario where, you know, you've got receivers who are great at double moves and you're just not even looking in Butler's direction. So it was, again, there were a lot of curious things about Sunday.
All right, why is Dorsett's playing time so limited, especially when you're missing pieces of the offense?
I mean, you can't play everybody. So you got Gordon out there. You got Edelman. You're not taking those two guys off the field. You know, you're going to need a tight end. You're going to need a running back. So it's, I mean, would you take Edelman or Gordon off the field for Dorsett? I mean, it's just not practical. I mean, do you want to?
Third and longs, you know, they were in situations where, you know, you can go five receivers, you can do things like that. It seemed like that would have been a game where, especially when you're behind, you could have used straight line speed.
Yeah, but, I mean, speed only gets you so far if you're not, you know, you can't just run down the field and throw a jump ball. I mean, that's not Dorsett's game. So, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of questions I have with the offense. You know, why isn't Dorsett getting more than 10 snaps a game? It is really not in the top 10, in my opinion.
All right, Jeff, the Patriots are still scoring points. They didn't do a lot of it last weekend, but you guys brought up Tom Brady's struggles. Patriots are still scoring a lot of points, however, one way or another, whether it be special teams setting the offense up for a short field or the defense or just running the football into the end zone. Considering what Mike Vrabel did to the Patriots offense on Sunday, does that have long-lasting implications for the rest of the season? Are other teams going to be able to do that?
I think the great or top-tier defenses are, I mean, it's no real surprise or recipe or anything like that, I should say. I mean, it's a team that has a really good front. They can get after the quarterback. They have a really good secondary, so they know how to cover. I mean, they're the top-rated defense in the NFL, and you just have to have, you know, you have to be able to go out and punch a team in the mouth the way that the Titans really did. So, you know, the Vikings will be a really good test. We saw the Bills have a good defense. The Patriots still put 25 on them. I mean, I know you include the pick six there, but there's, you know, they've been fighting through some things this season. I mean, I think that's why you saw Tom Brady as irritated as he was when they had that stretch of 38-point games when, you know, he said they were still leaving points out on the field. They still shouldn't be satisfied with, you know, what they were going out there and doing because there was still a lot more left to accomplish. I mean, I think, you know, part of it is you're going to take your chances with this group. There's six games left. They're going to come back from the bye, and Edelman will be a little healthier. Michelle Gronk will be a little healthier. About a week after that, I think you can get Rex Burkhead back. So you put all those pieces in place, and you start to open up more possibilities of what you're able to do. I mean, you're probably going to get yourself out of that situation where you're going to have to use a wide receiver as a running back. So there's, again, this is a group that you take your chances with. And I think once Brady is more comfortable and has Gronk back out there, and, you know, I think Brady said it, you know, the coaches are going to do a lot of self-evaluation this week during the bye. And I think Josh McDaniels probably just had, like I've been saying, I think that was probably his worst play-calling game of the season. So, again, you got to figure out what's been working, what's not working. And the other part of that is, you know, you talk about what did the Titans defense do that other teams can emulate. I mean, a lot of it is just going out and matching the energy that the Titans brought in that game. Yeah. And the Patriots have made no secret about that. I mean, that was something that they said on Sunday. It was what they said in week two and week three. And there's a, I think there is a parallel between those three losses. Week two, you had a Jaguars team that had a lot to go out and prove to themselves because of the AFC title game loss. You had a Lions team that was 0-2 in week three and trying to play for Matt Patricia. They had to prove something to themselves. And you had all these angry expatriates who wanted to go out and get a little revenge on their former team on Sunday. All of those teams had the home environment at their backing. They had a little chip on their shoulder, and the Patriots didn't come out with the necessary energy to match that. So that's going to be a major thing that they're going to have to try to figure out as early as week 15 in Pittsburgh, but you know, now looking more and more likely if they have to win a game or two on the road in the playoffs.
All right, finally, Jeff, there's been a lot of people speculating over the last few days. I know I heard Tommy Curran say something about this, and then Mike Florio added on to it about Rob Gronkowski. If he doesn't get a contract this year, then they believe that this will be it. This will be his last year, at least with the Patriots, or he'll retire. What do you suspect would happen at the end of the season? Is this the last year that we're going to see Rob Gronkowski playing football?
I mean, I'm not sure one way or the other, but, you know, this is going to be something that is absolutely going to be a storyline after every season for the remainder of Gronkowski's career until he comes out and says otherwise. I mean, just because he put it out there after the Super Bowl in February that he was going to contemplate his future. So when you got a player who starts doing that and you've got the injury history that he has, you start to go year to year. I mean, we've seen it with quarterbacks, and in this case, you're going to see it with the tight end, where, you know, you do have to ask that question because he himself has put that out there. I don't know. I'm not sure where he's at in terms of how long he wants to play at this point. I'm not sure he even knows at this point. It's probably too early for that. But, again, it's fair to look at this as on a year-to-year basis just because of his own words.
Yeah, I know. Because, I mean, like the whole threatening to quit if he got traded to the Lions, which he confirmed. You're right. So this is going to be – yeah, it's going to be weird. And on top of that – at some point, and I think we had Troy Brown in here, and he was saying that, like, you got to think about your health for the rest of your life. Like, if you ever plan on having kids, you know, I mean, he's been wrecked so badly.
That ship has sailed. I can't imagine his post-football career that he's very healthy, but I don't know. What do you think there, Jeff, with all those back problems?
It's, you know, I mean, that is something. When you go to, you know, a Super Bowl or a league event or some of these Hall of Fame ceremonies and you see some of the, you know, Hall of Famers, whether in the team or Canton or whatever, and you see them walking around, and a lot of these guys have a limp, whether they're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it happens more often than not. You got to think a guy with 9 surgeries under his belt is going to have a hard time walking around his kitchen when he's 50 years old.
Especially with those back issues that have been chronic. All right, Jeff Howe. From The Athletic, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
I appreciate it.
And by the way, put Gronk in the 2% of players in the NFL who will immediately be able to get some sort of great gig after the season, after their career's over.
They're
done playing.
Not as an analyst.
Not an analyst, but not everyone has to be an analyst. I mean, he's someone who could, I mean, just think about all the commercials he'll be able to do. They're going to find some sort of aspect and some sort of form of entertainment where Rob Gronkowski will be massively effective.
Well,
because he's liked so much by tons of people.
Well, wrestling, but I don't think he can wrestle because of his back problems. So I'm not positive what else he can do. I mean, I used to think that he could make short money on film. He could never be an actor. That's never going to happen.
I don't know. He's got friends in high places, Fred. You've seen the photos of him reading scripts with The Rock.
That's right. I'm sure it was for a role. And by the way, I'm not taking Dorsett off the table. I don't think that's a ridiculous statement. If you look at how effective him and Hogan have been, Hogan was targeted once last week, twice the week before that, and twice the week before
that. By the way, that target was just a throwaway, and he threw it at his feet just because he didn't want to get an intentional ground.
Hogan got a lot of snaps as the third receiver last week, too. So,
yes.
I mean, you could replace, I mean, would you lose anything if you replaced Hogan with Dorsett as the third wide?
I'm just saying, if you believe that Hogan, and it's not a huge issue, but I think it's a valid issue, is that if you are ignoring Hogan and you're not playing Dorsett, then what are you doing? Of course you're not going to take Gordon off the field. Of course you're not going to take Edelman off the field. But, I mean, you don't need a third receiver?
Just what makes you think that he's in the better in the circle of trust to Tom Brady than Chris Hogan?
It depends on if Gronk's out there. If Gronk's out there, then obviously you might not need a third receiver.
Oh, I understand that, but Gronk's not out there.
No, it depends on the situation.
Well, you're going to use a third receiver during the course of the
never,
game.
Never again.
Of course not. You're going to stay in
never
nice
again.
Two
wide outs, one tight end,
full
two backs.
Back. Yeah, full back.
Lots of James Devlin. Scored a touchdown last weekend, Fred. Well, don't overlook that.
That's a lot of how, you know, everyone's running the 1975 Woody Hayes Ohio State offense.
Offset eye, yep.
That's right. They're all the
direct snap
left
to Brady. Offset eye.
Student body left, baby. All right, we will be back. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We all know by now the stories of Aaron Hernandez. The Globe has been running a series of articles about it. We have found out that indeed, Rich, it's hard to find.
It's very hard to find.
Well, you might as well just do the invitation. We found out that indeed, Aaron Hernandez, as Dr. Phil once asked his fiance,
are you secretly gay?
And the answer to that was,
yes, he was.
That was the answer to that. He was indeed secretly gay.
Mm-hmm.
And the Globe has been releasing these telephone calls from prison.
Was he secretly gay?
Boom. And then it came back and she said no, and then here we are years later saying indeed.
Well, what's been interesting about the thing that the Globe's been doing is outside of course, you know, the murder and the whole crime aspect of it, through some of these phone calls, you've been able to get a little bit of a look inside of the amount of medication that is used on these players just to get through a game, the painkillers. And, you know, we've heard stories from back in the day, and times have changed. But, I mean, like even as recent as the 90s, you heard stories about guys going into the locker room and there'd be just a bowl. It would look like a big bowl of Mike and Ike's, and you could just grab pain pills. And, I mean, we've had ex-players tell us that all the time.
See, I don't believe that. But
they've told us that.
Right.
And those are stories that are out there.
That seems like a...
It seems wildly irresponsible.
No, but it also seems weird. Like, you would just... Was there, like, a buffet where it would have a sign that said, like, Tylenols and
Downers.
Percocet?
Yeah. I think that the representation of it being a giant Halloween candy bowl might be a little misrepresented.
Well,
if there was, like, a little, like, cup where you just say,
I got news for you. If you want pain pills and you have to get through the season, you need to take pain pills. I don't think that there's any possible way, including in 2018, that you can get through an NFL season without taking pain pills.
So this was interesting because here was a phone call between Aaron Hernandez and Brandon Spikes. So Brandon Spikes,
I've seen his wiener.
Well, I think a lot of people have. He was doing that little
video
check.
Did you see it this morning?
Listen, I have it scheduled on my computer to pop up every day at 6 a.m.
Well, what happens is my alarm goes off on my phone, and it's just a picture of Brandon Spikes. Wiener.
Okay, well, that's excellent. Does it make a sound effect?
Just goes, oh.
That's all it does.
Wiener.
All right, very nice.
Somebody's dong.
Was he secretly gay?
No secret about it, Dr. Phil. I am.
So this is a phone call in which Brandon Spikes starts talking to Aaron Hernandez from jail, and they start talking about getting into the types of painkillers that both are using. So let's take a listen.
Y'all play next week, though, huh?
Yeah, man. Look, I done damn broke my damn ribs, man, last game.
Your ribs?
Hell yeah, I broke my like the first series of the game, second series of the game. I played with that. I broke
you,
two ribs, dog. Hell yeah, you know how I done talked all that how to play.
Oh, I'm about to say, hell yeah. Be going sick in the past game, so you know I'm gonna watch that whole.
Can we just stop for a second? By the way, the unbeeped version, Aaron Hernandez calls him the N-word, and there's part of it just like, woo. All right, one of you is not an African-American.
No, Hernandez's dad is black.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was Latino.
No, his dad is black.
Oh, okay. Well, I did not know that. All right. For some reason, I thought he was Latino.
Well, I always wonder that about Be Real from Cypress Hill. Like, I don't know what his ethnic makeup is, and he would throw that around as well. But, no, Aaron Hernandez's dad was a very popular athlete in the Connecticut area, and he was indeed black.
I already know. There's some past fans in that motherfucker.
Huh? Everybody past fans in here.
Hopefully my feel better. I'm going to just wrap them, run like a little flat jacket like the quarterbacks wear. Yeah. Take a little tour and go from there, man. Tell them to give you the Porto shot and the pills. They don't give them out no more. It's illegal. It was illegal last year, the year we played. They made it illegal that year, but Bill still gave the shot.
For real?
Yeah. Bill still was giving it. It was illegal my last year playing. They made it illegal before the season. But that's why it was limited. You had to have a real excuse, this and that.
Yeah, they streak up here with that shit, bro. But they probably give you perks and Vikings and shit. You got to find a signature and shit to get a Vikings. Like, they don't pass shit out. You know how they used to pass it out on the plane and shit.
Yeah.
Wow, they would pass the Percocets and Vicodins out on the planes?
Yeah, well, now you actually have to sign something, so that's really a
detriment, right.
Well, if I have to sign something, but yeah, I can imagine going around. If I had broken ribs and I had to fly 4 hours on an airplane, I want you to give me everything
give
you
me
got.
Shots.
And by the way, I think that was even part of that lawsuit that came out, you know, these players against the NFL, is this same scene is where they would just pass them out on planes.
Right,
the Perks and the Vicodins.
Don't do none of that no more. Like, you got to just get Tylenol and wait till you see a doctor. Then he got to sign off on the shit. Then they'll give you, like, Vicodins, Perks.
Oh, no. Nah, like I think it's just that program. There's no way, because the pads, them motherfuckers give you everything when we was there.
I know. I remember that shit. They was, like, since the new rules, but I'm like we was there when all that shit happened.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
All right. So, there is Brandon Spikes, and then there is one of the Pouncey brothers here.
Yep, Mike Pouncey. And he was also talking about his pain management. And he goes into not only the drugs that he was taking, but just how effective marijuana is when having to medicate yourself.
Hey, yo, know what's crazy, though? That's what they were talking about. I mean, they're like, someone, weed is legal, and they're punishing dude for a whole year. But if someone beats their motherfucking girl, a domestic charge that isn't legal anywhere, they get less than a dude who just smokes a blunt. You know what I'm saying?
That is an excellent point by Aaron Hernandez. I have to go with him there.
So the media's out there on our side, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy.
For real. That's crazy. Like, you can't go out there drunk and ball out. You feel me? You could, but if you're that talented, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it affects your body. You're going to cramp up everything. You know what I'm saying? You smoke a bump before you play, it ain't nothing. You mean?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. I just wanted
to... Well, it sounds like Pouncey's using. Sounds like Pouncey's.
Wake up, sir.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Sounds like Pouncey's already deep in.
Yeah.
My goodness. Barry White.
Yeah, Barry White on lewds. Oh, if they still made lewds, but they don't.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I just wanted to... They just need to legalize it. Honestly,
they do it in places, but you still can't when you're in the league. I heard like in Denver wanted to smoke because it's legal out there, but you can't because it's illegal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they need to just like keep it off the drug test. You get what I'm saying?
Word.
They said, commissioner said he's going to look into it because, you know, because he wants guys to stop taking like pain pills and so, yeah. So they're going to do like more studies on it to see if, and he was like, if it helps the players, then he's all for it. But you guys do a lot of research on this.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm going to say, how ridiculous is it that you can buy synthetic heroin with a doctor's note, but there's places where you can't get stupid weed?
It's utterly ridiculous.
It is. I mean, one is a crippling, addictive, it is a health crisis going on right now, addiction to pain medicine, because they don't legalize heroin. I mean, you can find a doctor to give them to you. I mean, sometimes that they're necessary, but I mean, if you could get the same sort of, even alcohol. I wish I liked weed. I wish it didn't turn me into a paranoid, fractured bottle of nerves. It'd be so much easier to lose weight.
For real, weed and Porto, that's all you need, baby.
Oh, I'm telling you, bro. They canceled out all the Toradol. They don't even want to give you no Toradol shots anymore.
Why not? Toradol, that's just like heavy aspirin.
You would think so.
Well, you can get IVs over there with Toradol in them. Not even from a doctor.
I know, but the Pats, them motherfuckers give that for the players. If a player, like, you know what I mean by players, like you know what I'm saying? If players want it, man, they're getting that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bill, like, coach, you know what I'm saying? I'm hurting. Yo, what's crazy about Bill? He's like Meyer, yo. Like, if you're a baller, you know what I'm saying? Say you come in on Wednesday, like early in the week, the Tuesday or Wednesday practice, and you're like, yo, coach, like, I need a rest today. My body's hurting. And you know how, you know what I'm saying, I learned from y'all, obviously, but you go all out 150% every practice, feel me? So, like, they know your Bill will be like, all right, take the day off. Word. You just got to go up to him and be like, yo, I need this day. You know what I'm saying? My legs are hurting me. He'll be like, yeah, take that day off. Just make sure you're out there. That's it.
I'm sure that Bill Belichick is thrilled to be compared to Urban Meyer.
I know. It's like, I mean, listen, you know, when you're getting your name tossed out to Urban Meyer as far as making the right decisions, then I have a feeling that's not something that you want put out there and on audio tape. Yeah, that's probably not audio that anyone from the Patriots wants floating out into the universe. That the Patriots, you know, listen, I know there's all these regulations, but they'll give you whatever you want.
Tom, go ahead.
They give the stuff out on the plane because it's international airspace. It's like when you're in the air, you can't be charged with crimes.
I don't think that's true at all.
So what if I hijack a plane?
Or no, what if... Yeah, like, what if I...
So I can murder everyone on the plane. I'm cool.
Right.
You just get off. It's like, oh, it happened up there. Oopsie.
Kind of like you're out at sea, you know, just a couple miles offshore.
No, if you hit him in the face, you can hit someone in the face. You can beat him up.
Please save that. That's my favorite call of the week.
Unless Dilly calls back in.
Well, Dilly calls back in. And I still don't even know if Dilly will top that.
No, just by being Dilly.
Just by being Dilly, then why not, you know?
She can talk.
I'm not Dilly.
Yeah, I'm not Dilly.
Again with the Dilly.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll be right back.
12,000 times.
The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rick.
Gonna get wild, let's do something crazy. Anyone here got Hulu?
I don't.
Losers. Maybe, you know, you can't take it with you. Maybe you lay out that $9.99 and get going.
I do want to watch The Handmaiden's Tale.
That's not Hulu, I don't think.
It isn't?
It is Hulu. It is Hulu.
That's the only show that I can think of that is Hulu-specific.
Handmaiden?
The Handmaiden.
There's one that's not bad about these guys that live in, that work at this country club in New York. But anyway, they have, every time I hear Do Something Crazy, they have every Jersey Shore on there. And if you go back, Jersey Shore is one of the greatest shows in television history.
You know who's in town Monday? Paulie D.
Yeah, but I don't want to see him DJ.
Yeah, I mean, listen, maybe we can try to get him in studio. Hey,
Paulie Del Vecchio from Province.
Paulie Del Vecchio is going to be at the Grand on Monday night.
Now, what's the Grand?
The Grand is that new nightclub that's over the Seaport.
Oh, of course, I know that. I know all the new nightclubs. I got my finger on the pulse of everywhere you can boogie. You know where? You know what's fun is being over the age of 30 and with someone in a monogamous relationship and going to one of those places.
I went to one of those in Miami about 2 years ago, and at one point I looked at myself. I think it might have been like 3:30 in the morning, and I'm like, "Why do I have a glow stick?" Like they hand them out there, and then I look. All right, so that's a heck of a service fee you put on our bill.
Yeah, and then you get to nice service.
It's a 29% upcharge on the already ridiculous fee for, you know, a $400 bottle.
All right. Well, Stanley, the inventor of all these, everything that is in the cartoon world, he kicked
movies,
the bucket.
Movies, everything, yeah.
Yeah, he's dead as a doornail, but he died at the age of 95. He died yesterday, and this is obviously someone who is iconic. In that he created many, many characters that people have grown up with. Rich had the opportunity to talk to him.